House Veterans Affairs Division will come to order, and would Representative Poston lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Representative Poston. And the committee legislative assistant has noted the rule, and a quorum is present. May I have a motion to approve the minutes from the March 19th meeting? Representative Poston?
Mr. Chair, I would make that motion.
Representative Poston approves the March 19th minutes. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion, the ayes have it, and the motion prevails. The March 19th meetings has been approved. And normally, in a military situation, people coming in late to a meeting, it's usually 25 push-ups, but we'll forego that tonight. This is a special meeting because we wanted to make sure that we got our bills heard, and because of the deadline, the first deadline, we wanted to make sure that we heard all the bills that came forward and get them out the door to the other committees. So with that, the first bill on the agenda is House File 4057, Representative Sanseed, and please come to the table with your testifiers. And I remove House File 4057 before the committee, and that will be re-referred to the Tax Committee. I understand you have an author's amendment to the A3 amendment. Does everybody have a copy of the A3 amendment? And I will move Representative Sanseed's author's amendment to get the bill in shape for all who wants. So, are there any questions? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the House File 4057 is amended, and the A3 with the A3 amendment.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of this committee. House File 4057 is a bill that was brought to me by a constituent concerning the Disabled Veterans Homestead Exclusion. There's a couple of different parts to this bill. The first thing that this bill does is it would move the deadline to apply for the exclusion from July 1st to November 1st. I think that this is an appropriate thing to do because the truth in taxation hearings occur oftentimes well after July, and this would enable veterans who qualify a more appropriate timeline to apply for the exclusion. Moreover, because Minnesota's property tax system is on a two-year cycle, if a veteran becomes certified disabled, for instance, in July of 2018, they would have to wait until 2019 to apply and then would not see lower taxes until 2020. Additionally, this bill would allow eligible veterans to retroactively apply for the exclusion to tax years 2016 and 2017. The constituent who brought the idea of this bill to me received notice from the VA that he was 100% permanently disabled as of May 24th, 2016. It wasn't until after July 7th of 2017 he learned he was eligible for the Disabled Veterans Homestead Exclusion, and he estimates he lost approximately $1,600 each year due to this. Going forward, I hope to work with you and others on ways that we can help veterans stay in their homes, and I hope to have a deeper conversation with stakeholders about the way we can do this, utilizing programs like the Disabled Veterans Exclusions. Considering the timeline we're on this session, though, I've worked to make this provision narrow as we can. These men and women have served our nation honorably, and it's our privilege to have them call Minnesota their home. In the case of my constituent, he has to live the rest of his life with the effects of Agent Orange. When we find the red tape getting in their way, we should do what we can, in my estimation, to remove it. They've given all for our freedom, and these are just some small steps that we can do to improve their way of life. I have Chris Kleeman here from House Research if anybody has any additional questions. Unfortunately, my testifiers were not able to join us this evening. I'd be happy to take any questions.
First of all, Representative Sanseed, thank you for the cookies.
Yeah,
this was your first...
It is my first appearance.
First appearance. Any committee?
Oh, no. My first appearance before this committee.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. And any questions for Representative or the House Research? Correct. House Research. Would the House Research just maybe clarify a little bit about the bill? Will it affect what's already in law? Just the date. That's the way I see it.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Chris Kleinman with the House Research Department. Members of the committee, yes, so the only permanent change to the Disabled Veterans Homestead exclusion that House File 4057 would make is it would change the due date for the application to the county assessor from July 1 to November 1. The refund provision that's in the bill as amended in Section 2 would not be a permanent provision. It would only be available until November 1. Well, it would only be available to apply for until November 1 of 2018.
Okay. Are there anybody in the audience who would like to testify for this bill, for or against? Okay. The chair removes the motion for House of closing remarks. I'm sorry.
I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. The chair removes the motion for House File 4057 as amended, be referred to the Tax Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and House File 4057 will be on its way to the Great Tax Committee.
Thank you.
Moving right along, we have the next bill on the agenda is House File 3912. Reverend Dabney, please come to the table with your testifiers. I will move House File 3912 before the committee. Reverend Dabney, the committee will leave it to the Capital Investment Committee to evaluate the merits of the bonding proposal. So I will move your bill is referred to the Capital Investment Committee without recommendation. That's how we're doing it here. So Reverend Dabney, your bill is before us. And please tell us about your bill and introduce your testifiers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I'm just a question for the chair first. If I dropped and gave you 26 push-ups, would that be a plus in moving?
I have a feeling you could probably do that many push-ups too.
I appreciate the confidence. Mr. Chair and members, the chair and I actually spent this morning at the opening of the new building 22 at the Minneapolis Veterans Home, joined by enough people, they had to open up overflow. And what struck me there was not only the size of the crowd and the panel of dignitaries at the front, but the number of veterans and their families from around the state who were there to mark the opening of this new building. The Minneapolis Veterans Home is in my district, and I've been in and out of there with various needs of theirs over the years. And one of the things I found is this 131-year-old institution, the old Soldiers Home, as it was originally called, is a statewide asset. And it is accessed by veterans from around the state for care. This House file proposes $26 million for a new building at the Minneapolis Veterans Home to best serve the needs of metro area veterans in terms of the numbers of veterans, the diversity of veterans, and the needs that they experience. With me today, and far more knowledgeable of this, is Tom Diamond. And I would ask, Mr. Chair, that you recognize him, and he can provide his testimony.
And Representative Dabney, just a little bit more of what you said about the ribbon cutting today. I'm going to have the Department of Veterans Affairs come into the committee here with that 6-minute video that was shown, and it was just outstanding, excellent. So I've asked Mr. Johnson, Ben Johnson, to bring that in so the committee can see it. It's they're actually also producing a 30-minute video film on the Minneapolis Veterans Home. So it's a great institution, and you can see the pride in the veterans' eyes that were there and the families. So, Mr. Diamond, please introduce yourself.
Tom Diamond. I'll be brief considering our stuff, but just to give you an idea of the situation, there's a map here, and any veteran can go to any veteran home in the state. There's four that provide skilled care. The Minneapolis facility, Silver Bay, Fergus Falls, and Laverne. And what this map does is you can go anywhere you want, but if you want your relatives to be able to visit, it's probably got to be somewhat close. And what this does is just divide it out as to what the, by distance, what is the kind of the practical distance. If you were to take a look at the Silver Bay, Fergus Falls, and Laverne homes, there's combined 274 beds to serve that area. And there's 90,000 veterans that it serves in that area. You can take a look again at the areas that are served by the Minneapolis Veterans Home. And there are 300 beds there, but it serves 245,000 veterans. So you can understand the challenge of it. There actually were 150 more beds there, but for a very good reason we've lost those beds, but we need to replace them. They were being lost because of just what was being discussed, and I encourage everybody to go out there and see the facility. It's been wonderful, and it's great for the veterans and the care for the veterans. We've gone from wards, multiple-person rooms, bathrooms down the hall, to private rooms, private baths, but it takes more space. And so there's been a reduction of 150 beds. The population at the waiting lists in at the different homes varies from time to time. But if you take a look at consistently, this home has had the longest wait times. As a matter of fact, in 2015, of the 917 veterans who are on waiting lists in the state, 717 of them were here. It is, again, length of times to get a room if you need it varies. But at this home, wait times of 13 to 15 months are not unusual. I was talking with the Veterans Service Office in Blue Earth at Mankato, and they told me the story of a veteran they were trying to help there to get into the home. He had been waiting 13 months to get in. He was just within sight of getting it, and he passed away. And that's what's happening at these facilities. And so, if you take a look at the numbers, and I won't go into all the length here, there's a letter of support from the city of St. Paul, Ramsey County is a resolution of support, Minneapolis is voting on it tomorrow. But I would hope you'd look at the need here and help us get some additional beds at this facility so we don't have the wait times that we have now and that people can be served well at this facility. Thank you.
Are there any questions from the committee for Representative Dabney or the testifier? Anybody in the audience would like to come up and speak? Please come up and please introduce yourself for the committee.
My name is Joseph Cherub. I live in Robbinsdale, and I'm a Vietnam vet.
Thank you for your service.
Mr. Chairman and members of this committee, at times when talking about numbers and costs, we lose track of the important subject, the person or people. I would like to introduce you to one of these people. His name is Dave. Dave is a family friend who lives in our independent living cooperative building in Robbinsdale. I emphasize independent. Once a resident is no longer independent, they are required by contact to leave our cooperative and live elsewhere. Dave was a Corsair fighter pilot who flew air cover over Okinawa during and after World War II. Excuse me. After his honorable discharge, he used his GI Bill to pursue a divinity degree at Luther Seminary in Decorah, Iowa. Once that was accomplished, he and his family set off to New Guinea, where he and his wife served as missionaries. Their children were sent to boarding school in nearby Australia. For 18 years, they served the natives of New Guinea, the Lutheran Church, and God. Their children grew up and were educated in a foreign country. When they returned, they moved to Minnesota, eventually winding up in Robbinsdale and becoming members of our church in Golden Valley, Valley of Peace ELCA. Eventually, they found our cooperative and have resided there ever since. Dave lost his wife some years ago after a long disability. Now he lives alone. Dave is 94 years old and is becoming more frail by the month. Every month he goes to the VA in Minneapolis for a shot in his eyes because of macular degeneration. His daughter drives him to his appointments. He is slowly losing his short-term memory as well as his hearing. He walks with a cane, which he misplaces often, and I have to go searching for it. His son helped write his parents' biography, Children of the Plains, and he had 5 copies printed. Generous Dave gave all 5 copies to different people to read and forgot who he gave them to. Now he has none. One day on the way to church, he mentioned that he had had an episode that early morning of pains in his side, and he had to be driven by his daughter to the emergency room. I asked him if he still had those pains because I would be willing to take him back to emergency. He said, "Joe, I just turned 93. I'm not going to live forever." Thinking about the Minneapolis Veterans Home that we desperately do need to add beds to, I thought, for you, that might be a blessing. Dave is from the greatest generation and is getting to the point where he may have to move. At Minneapolis Veterans, have had to wait a year or more to get a bed. With 1 to 2 year wait, where will he go? Silver Bay? Fergus Falls? To live with his daughter and her family? How many others are in a similar situation? Dave served his country and God. Dave deserves to be taken care of until he passes on. We owe Dave and the others a place to rest before they die. Thank you.
Thank you, and we know that my father's going to be turning 95 May 27th, and still living in his home. My youngest brother and his wife moved in with him so that he could stay in his home. Not everybody has that ability to have that advantage of staying in your home. So I really appreciate your testimony and your friend Dave. And it's something that we have to realize that is the greatest generation. And that we have to, and if you look at the soldiers, the men and women who are in our 5 veterans homes, you know, that generation makes up a large amount. And then the Korean War also now, and then eventually you're going to see more Vietnam War veterans that are part of our veterans homes. And it's going to be the job of this legislature to decide. There's 3 communities that want to build a veterans home, and now we see that the addition at the Minneapolis home. So it's not going to be up to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. It's going to be up to this legislature to decide where we're going to be going with adding numbers of beds to our veterans homes. So any other comments from the committee? And Representative Dabney, any closing remarks?
Mr. Chair, I couldn't improve on what has already been said by others.
Well, the chair renews the motion that House File 3912 be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee without recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. I should have finished that. Motion prevails, and it will be referred to the Capital Investment Committee. The next bill on the agenda is House File 4100. That is my bill. Representative Rosenthal will come over and take the gavel.
Thank you.
Chair Dettmer, welcome to your committee. Would you like to move your bill and have it referred back to the state government finance?
Yeah, that's my motion.
Chair Dettmer, I understand that you have an author's amendment.
There's the DE1 amendment. I'd like to put that forward to make sure that it's in the form that we want.
Does everybody have a copy?
Everybody should have a copy of the DE1 amendment.
Chair Dettmer, would you like to move your amendment to get the bill in the shape that
I would like to move the DE1 amendment.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Chair Dettmer, the bill is before us.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. And House File 4100 was brought to my attention several weeks ago, and I had no idea that this was a situation here in Minnesota. But the first step here is to start a discussion on the legislature here about what to do with our abandoned cemeteries here in Minnesota. Cemeteries are often often contain veterans, and I had never heard of an abandoned cemetery before, but now that I've looked into it, the bill doesn't come up with any groups or any lobbyists. Almost a definition of abandoned cemeteries, don't have an organization group to look out for them. It does come from a couple of our staff who have had ongoing discussions about this topic over the past few years, so they brought it to my attention. But I'm learning that there's a lot of volunteer groups and local historic societies that have already been taking to task these abandoned cemeteries and doing the work that needs to be done on them. And I think that shows that Minnesotans are certainly ready to take care of those who have helped build the state. The bill as amended would do three things, basic things. First, it would require local units of government to take care of abandoned cemeteries that contain veterans or a veteran or veterans. Secondly, it suggests that there should be a funding up to update the statewide listing of cemeteries. We need to have a listing of these cemeteries that have been abandoned. We really cannot address the problem of abandoned cemeteries until we know the true extent of the problem. The bill suggests that a combination of legacy and general fund dollars to do this. Since it's not a budget year, I wanted to suggest that both of those sources to again get the just to get the conversation going. That's what the purpose of the bill is to get the conversation going. What should we be doing with these abandoned cemeteries? Third, it would set up an adopt a cemetery program. This would allow a formal recognition of a good group of volunteers in Minnesota that Minnesota always seemed to come up with some good group of volunteers to do. With that, I know that we have someone from the Historical Society here to testify, and as members, I recognize that this is just the first step, and that this will need to some work to do in the future as we get to the point of passing the legislation. But I truly feel that we should and respect these places, especially when they contain remains of our veterans. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to introduce David Keller with the Minnesota Historical Center.
Welcome, Mr. Keller. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm David Keller, Minnesota Historical Society. Mr. Chair, Representative Dettmer, thank you for bringing this forward. This is something that we've worked with other folks in sort of in fits and starts over time. And the good news is that a bunch of work has been done in a few areas. The challenge is that a lot more work needs to be done. And the part of the bill that you're outlining with adding some more funding with legacy funds builds on some work that was done in 2011. That was a cooperative effort between the State Archaeologist, the Minnesota Historical Society, and the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council to try to get a handle on what is out there. And there are almost 6,000 abandoned cemeteries that are known. And as you know, and as some of the articles that were distributed outline, a lot of them are in farm fields where nobody knows, or woods where nobody knows where they are. So the first step is getting a handle on what is out there, and that database improvement and update will move to that. The second piece that I think we'll never finish but is worth making a start is doing some work to preserve cemeteries, whether they're known and sort of cared for or unknown. And I think we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but there's some work happening also in a partnership with the Minnesota Historical Society, an organization called the Northern Bedrock Historic Preservation Corps that's modeled after the Minnesota Conservation Corps, the old CCC. That group takes young people who are interested in learning more about construction or historic preservation and brings them out to do field work in a whole bunch of different areas. One of the things they've worked on is doing cemetery preservation, and they did a project in Carlton, Minnesota, and they also did a project kind of in your backyard with the Botwell House in Stillwater. The Botwell House has some severe preservation needs for the house, but there's also a cemetery right adjacent to that. What these crews have done is learned how to properly take care of the headstones without damaging them and clean them with good conservation methods and repair fences and repair grounds and reset stone. So I think as we move forward, there's a lot of folks out there doing this work, and trying to corral all the good work that's been done is a good way to move forward. So appreciate you bringing this forward and look forward to the conversation continuing.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just curious, a show of hands, how many knew that there was a number of 6,000 abandoned cemeteries?
Wow.
How about the people in the audience? Anybody realize that there are 6,000 abandoned cemeteries? Okay. So that's just kind of mind-boggling that that is a situation here in Minnesota. And I'm sure that years ago, in some cases, there might have been a church. And usually there's a cemetery, in the days there's a cemetery next to the church, and all of a sudden the church is gone, but the cemetery is still there. So I'm sure that's been cases, and it's really, this is probably be a project that will be a very educational project for through the Historic Society, and maybe schools can be part of this too, and learning about this whole thing.
Chair Emmer, that's an incredible statistic. Yeah. Any questions from members? Is there anybody? Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and was really happy to hear that you're also working with the Indian Affairs Council on this issue, because obviously the remains of anybody's ancestors, we want to treat those things with respect, and I just hope, you know, when you think of a cemetery, we are inclusive in what we conceive of as a cemetery, and so I was glad to hear that they're involved with that discussion. So thanks for bringing the bill forward.
Chair,
and Mr. Chair, how many have been out to, like, Boston, out on the East Coast, the Freedom Trail, and gone through some of the cemeteries there, and those communities have really, there's some real history out there, and they've really taken care of those cemeteries, and so I guess... We have something to learn here. As our people moved west, and how we're going to deal with the situation here in Minnesota. So.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add in while we're learning new facts.
Mr. Kelleher.
Mr. Chair, in response to Representative Beckerfin's point, it's estimated that there are somewhere near 12,000 burial sites.
Wow.
For Native American people. So the amount is even larger than known burial sites of what we would call cemeteries. So a lot out there.
Any other questions from members? Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify? Chair Detmer, any closing remarks?
Well, I think we'll be looking towards your help on this project with the History Center Society. And again, I would like to renew my motion that we refer this bill to
State Government
Finance. State Government Finance.
Chair Detmer renews his motion that House File 4100, as amended, be referred back to the State Government Finance Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Next on the agenda is a Senator Sheldon Johnson bill at House File 3672, which I am standing in for. Representative Rosenthal, would you like to move your bill before the committee, and that will be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes?
Thank you, Chair Detmer. Yes, I would like to move House File 3672 referred to Taxes.
Representative Rosenthal,
House File 3672 is before us. Please tell us about your bill, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am pinch hitting for Representative Johnson, who is ill and won't be back until the middle of April. So this is an expansion of the Disabled Veterans Tax Credit, and I will let the two gentlemen to my side, much more knowledgeable than myself.
Please introduce yourself for the committee, please.
Chair. Tom Diamond. Again, considering our brief, but this bill you have seen versions of before that you testified on, so I think you know the gist of it. And this is taking input that the committee members gave previously, trying to get the benefit for all disabled veterans. And there was some advice that maybe the 10%, et cetera, isn't appropriate, but they wanted to expand it. And so took 40%, and let Trent speak a little more on that, but there's a 30% level is where the VA makes a demarcation mark. So we set it at 40%, and also the $750 credit, the discussion, and it even included, got into a bill, an omnibus bill, that unfortunately got vetoed, moved it up to $1,000, so we stuck with that. And then the other provision that's there is the $50,000, which addresses the issue that from the, when this originally was set in place to currently with inflation, that we get this more in line with what current the income still is, has a limit on the income eligibility. So hopefully this meets the committee's advice to us at the previous meeting, and hopefully we'll look favorably on this.
Okay. Please introduce yourself.
Trent Dilks, I'm the Legislative Director for the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota. Here to testify in favor of this. And the part I wanted to talk about real quickly is the reduction from 100% threshold permanent total down to 40%. And I'd like to just give a few examples real quick about 40%. I feel like sometimes we get focused in on some of the higher percentages, the benefits for the 100%, some of them that we start at 70%. Sometimes that has to do with severity, and sometimes it has to do with fiscal notes, and we find a percentage that fits. And maybe we lose track a little bit of what that percentage means, and instead of a number, it's an actual disability that our veterans have. So I have three examples of what would be rated 40% according to the VA's CFR 38. It's the regulation for rating. First one is injury resulting in loss of all teeth. If you retain one tooth, that's 20%. All teeth, 40%. Number two, deep tissue burns covering 144 square inches or more of a veteran's body. That's 144 square inches. If that's not deep tissue, that's 10%. So that's 40% for that. And the last one has to do with traumatic brain injury. It's estimated that there are 260,000, over 260,000 Iraq and Afghanistan veterans with TBI. A 40% TBI can look like inability to communicate by spoken or written language more than occasionally but less than half the time, marked fatigue, blurred or double vision, headaches requiring rest periods most days, social interaction is frequently inappropriate, and in complex situations unable to identify, understand, and weigh alternatives, understand consequences of choices, and make reasonable decisions. That would be rated 40% under 38 CFR. So I just wanted to bring some attention to that. When we talk about 40%, it sounds like a pretty dramatic drop, but 40% can be some pretty severe disabilities as far as the rating schedule. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have questions from the committee? And do we have any questions from the audience that would like to testify? Come forward. Okay. And as we know, we're not a finance committee. When it goes to the tax committee, of course, there'll be a note, a fiscal note, and I have no idea what that would be. But I think it's Representative Rosenthal, thank you for bringing it forward. And that is something that I think if the DOV is looking at this and think it's important, it's something we should really look at. And But again, it's going to go to the next committee. That's our job, is to get it off to the next committee. And Representative Rosenthal removes his motion that House File 3672 be referred to Tax Committee. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the motion prevails, and House File 3672 is referred members. To Taxes. And I just wanted to, you know, before we close here, I just wanted to make a few comments. Is there anything else to come before the House Veterans Affairs Division today? Anything else that we need to bring up? Anything? We will meet next Monday, March 26th. We will continue hearing presentations from groups. All the bills that we've heard have been heard. And also these groups have received funding through the legislature. That's why we like to have them come in and give us an update. We'll also hear from the Minnesota Historical Society with the update on Fort Snelling. And we'll also have presentations from MMB and from DEED on programs designed to recruit and hire veterans. And also the possibility we might be having, in the future, we might be having a joint hearing with the Senate. We're kind of looking at maybe April 9th. It's a joint hearing with the Senate to talk about the possibility of what's going on in requests from Bemidji, Montevideo, and Fillmore County for a new veterans home. And I think it was important that the committee understand what the process is and what the federal government requires and what funding is required. And I think that's important that we try to get the Senate together and discuss that. So, with that, like I said last meeting, every day in Minnesota is a Veterans Day, and so this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.